This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, Nevada Outlook, a discussion of Northern Nevada issues on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning, I'm Daniela Cennino, and welcome to Nevada Outlook. Today we're talking with Tierra Curry. She's a scientist with the Center for Biological Diversity, and she's going to talk to us about 23 species that the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife is considering delisting from the Endangered Species Act because they're extinct. Some of those include tropical birds, freshwater mussels, and even a bat. We're going to learn more right now with Tierra Curry. I'm going to give you the floor. Tell us everything we need to know.
Well, I hope that these species aren't gone. The Fish and Wildlife Service has proposed to remove them from the endangered species list due to extinction. And occasionally species that are thought to be extinct are rediscovered, and so it would certainly be amazing if we did see some of them again, especially some of the freshwater mussels. They can live to be up to 100 years old. So it's possible that they're out there somewhere, but they haven't been seen in decades. And there's a lot of people who try really hard to see the ivory-billed woodpecker, and it would be amazing if someone got a glimpse of it again and it wasn't extinct. The announcement included 11 birds that have gone extinct, and one of them was in Guam and the others were from Hawaii, and most of them were in the honeycreeper family. So they have these curved beaks that they use to get nectar from flowers. And unfortunately, island habitats are really vulnerable to invasive species. So things like goats, pigs, deer, rats, cats, mongooses that eat the vegetation the birds need, but that also prey directly on the birds. The one in Guam went extinct because of predation from the brown tree snake. We put the animals there. I really love freshwater mussels, and I could talk about them all day. The United States is home to a third of all freshwater mussel species. There's about 309 different kinds here, so we're actually the global center of freshwater mussel diversity. And they're incredibly important because they filter water, so they take contaminants, pollutants, bacteria out of the water, make the water cleaner. This saves cities money on filtration. And their shells provide homes for other small animals like fish and crayfish. And they also stabilize the riverbanks and prevent things like silt and erosion. They're also a really important part of the food web. And they were culturally very important. Historically, they were a food source for Native Americans. Their shells were used to make jewelry. And there was also a booming freshwater mussel industry to make buttons before the invention of plastic. The eight species that were declared extinct were all from the southeastern United States, most of them centered around Tennessee and Alabama.
Tierra, is it possible for us to stop this in its tracks and kind of reverse some of this cataclysmic situation that we're in right now?
It's absolutely possible. I mean, saving species is not rocket science. We just need to protect their habitats. We need to get more funding to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service so that they can hire more staff, so that they can actually implement recovery plans for endangered species. Right now, recovery is funded at 3.5% of the funding that it needs to actually recover species. So I am optimistic that with funding, we could prevent extinction in the United States.
What else can you tell us about the 23 species?
Well, so island environments are some of the most threatened environments in the world because the species there just haven't adapted to predators. So when you get invasive species, the species that live there are completely vulnerable to them. The freshwater mussels largely declined as a result of extensive damming of the Tennessee River watershed that started back in 1914. And then after the dams, there were declines in water quality. And then you get things like climate change making the water warmer. And baby mussels in particular are really sensitive to rising temperatures.
Talk about some of the other species that are kind of on the edge right now. What other near and dear animals that we just take for granted right now are on this endangered species list?
Yes, rhinos around the world are very endangered because of poaching. So the white rhino is incredibly endangered. In the United States, a really common and familiar species that a lot of people love is the monarch butterfly. And it's hard to imagine that it could even be endangered because it's found in 49 states. But it's incredibly sensitive to climate change, to pesticides, It makes a huge migration, and habitat is so fragmented. And then between drought and fires and hurricanes, we've just made it really hard for it to be able to complete its migration. So the California population has declined by 99%, and the population east of the Rockies has declined by 85%. And it's really hard to wrap your head around the fact that a common familiar species could go extinct. The California population numbered in the millions a couple decades ago and then fell to around 200,000 in 2014. And they were holding steady at about 200,000, but then they dipped down to 30,000. And 30,000 is the number that scientists had set as their extinction threshold, meaning if they fall down to or below 30,000, they could crash. And that's exactly what happened. They held steady at 30,000 for a couple years, and then last winter, there are only 2,000 total monarchs in the overwintering groves where previously there had been millions.
We've really got down to the 2,000 population of the California monarchs?
Yep. Last winter, there were like 1,900 and something. There's more Starbucks in California than there were monarch butterflies last winter.
We're on with Tierra Curry with the Center for Biological Diversity, basically a scientist that studies endangered species. I saw an article recently that they're finding monarchs overwintering in places like San Francisco now.
Yes, and that is a result of the changing climate. Like historically, the monarchs went to the overwintering groves because they needed a place to just chill out for the winter and not reproduce. But now that it's warmer, they're not migrating, and people who have been trying to help them, like everybody wants to help monarchs. So, and they've heard they need to plant milkweed, and so a lot of people have planted an invasive species of milkweed called tropical milkweed. Doesn't die back, and it causes the monarchs not to migrate. And so it's better to plant native species of milkweed and just get rid of the tropical milkweed because it's disrupting the migration. I mean, when you hear that a million species are at risk of extinction, it sounds really overwhelming, but that means we can save a million species from extinction. And so people can make individual choices, but also use their voice to contact their elected officials and tell them they care about wildlife and they want to see healthy wildlife populations.
I think with the monarchs, the key is don't use Roundup or super toxic pesticides in your yard, right? And that goes for bees and all that other good stuff.
And plant native plants.
Before I let you go, you want to talk about bees real fast?
Yeah, so a lot of people are concerned about the decline of honeybees, but there's actually hundreds and hundreds of species of native bees that are also declining, including bumblebees. The American bumblebee was just announced it's under review for Endangered Species Act protection now. And so, yes, like you were talking about, pesticides have decimated our pollinator populations. Our survival depends on it. Like, our survival depends on healthy pollinator populations, healthy wildlife populations.
Give me the takeaway and I'll let you go.
Don't give up. Everyone can make a difference.
How do we help out with this funding?
Contact your elected officials and tell them to sponsor the Extinction Prevention Act. That would provide funding for butterflies, freshwater mussels, desert fishes, and Hawaii plants, which are the most endangered groups of animals in America. It's called the Extinction Prevention Act. It's moving through Congress right now. Right now, it still needs sponsors, so tell them to sponsor it.
Give us the website one more time.
Biologicaldiversity.org, or you can go to savelifeonearth.org. So people like to talk about the canary in the coal mine, but now, because of the threats of climate change, everything is a canary.
The websites for those who are interested in learning more are centerforbiologicaldiversity.org and lifeonearth.org. I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook. Thanks for listening.
The news and talk of Nevada. This is Nevada Outlook on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning. I'm Daniela Cennino, and welcome to Nevada Outlook. Today we're talking with Carson City Sheriff's Department Detective Kevin Murray about social media scams. All right. So social media scams are just out of control right now. I just told you that story about the lady that sent money to these fake rock stars. And it goes even deeper. They pretend to be your close friends and neighbors too, right?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Let's tell me more.
So basically what they're doing is you got people that are going on social media outlets, things like that. They're doing their research, gathering information on people that have social media accounts, looking at their friends, and then what they'll do is they'll create fake profiles using information from people that these social media users are already friends with. And basically what they'll do is they'll come up with these accounts, they're portraying themselves as somebody that's known to the person, and then they start asking for favors.
That really kind of goes back to data mining. There's a lot of that on Facebook nowadays where, what city were you born in? What was the first car you drove? A lot of those are security questions that you answer when you have an account with somebody, right?
Some of the outlets do require that kind of information. They also require, you know, especially for like password security, things like that. Like, hey, what was your pet's first name? Or, you know, what was your first pet? Or what street did you grow up on? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so what these hackers are doing is basically they're just gleaning social media data mining, and then they end up getting this info on us, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's relatively easy to do. I mean, you can basically portray yourself as anybody on the internet, which is kind of a scary thing. But having that information out there makes it that much easier for them to accomplish.
Let's talk about the Dr. Phil I saw a while back, detective. Basically, this woman gave money to fake rock stars, two rock stars, Bret Michaels and Nikki Sixx. She thought that they were actually communicating with her, and these guys went really high tech. They were posting like clips of interviews to make it look like they were talking to her. And sometimes people can go that extra step, right, to rip you off.
Yeah, and I mean, unfortunately, you know, there's people out there that'll fall for it. And they will go, and they are that good at coming up with this kind of information and doing these types of activities to make it that much more believable so that, you know, the person that's being the victim here, you know, thinks that they're actually dealing with these people or actually talking to these people that they think are their friends or their idols or whatever.
The old, I need this money transferred over and I just can't seem to do it with my bank account, so I need you in the process. And that's how people are getting taken in a lot of these scams. Can you go ahead and play that out for me? How's it work? My friend hits me up and says they're in desperate need, and then run the rest of the scenario down to me.
So, yeah, that's basically the idea behind it. It'll come up, it's your friend, it's your buddy. Hey, they're down on their luck, they're having a hard time, whatever the case may be. Hey, I'm having a hard time, you know, cashing this check, or I'm having a hard time opening a bank account or whatever. Can you do me this favor? And, trying to help a friend in need. So they'll say, yeah, sure, no problem. And then what will happen is they'll get sent these checks. These checks look legitimate. They look real. They come back with sufficient routing numbers and things like that, so that they'll be accepted by the banks. The victim will then go and deposit this into their bank account and then transfer the money out, whether it be like money wiring, internet wiring, things like that. And so the money gets sent out, boom, it's gone. And then a couple days later, they get notified by the bank that the check was fraudulent. And now they're on the hook for that money. I've seen thousands of dollars actually get taken that way.
How do they get these checks to look so real?
It's kind of like the internet, right? You can kind of portray yourself to do things or be something that you're not. I mean, they go so far out of their ways to have what we call fraudulent check labs, and they will get legitimate-looking payroll checks and things like that, and they'll put sufficient information. They'll go on the internet. They'll Google a company in the area so they can look at a business in Reno or Carson and gather that information off the internet and then put a routing number on it, which is more information that can be given off the internet, and then they'll come up with some fake account number. So it all looks legitimate. Some of it has the correct safety seals or security implemented devices that are in it. So it looks legitimate until it comes back from the bank a few days later going, nope, this account does not exist.
We're talking with Detective Kevin Murray at the Carson City Sheriff's Office about social media fraud scams that are just out of control right now. I mean, because let's face it, people had a lot of time on their hands sitting at home, those hackers, for a year and a half with COVID. Let's talk a little bit about how this is kind of a double-edged sword. Not only do you need to be super wary of what you're answering on Facebook and other social media accounts when it comes to those fun little quizzes and things that your friends post, but you also want to be sure that whoever's reaching out to you via these avenues, say Facebook or Instagram, that's a legitimate individual that you know. Like, make that phone call. It's not that hard, right, Detective?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the biggest thing. You know, I've seen some of these people come forward. They're portraying themselves as somebody that, you know, they may have gone to high school and graduated high school with, and now they're reaching out years later and say, oh, I remember that guy. And before you know it, they're being taken to the bank. Always verify who you're actually talking to. I mean, we get all kinds of different scams, whether it be internet or phone scams, things like that. And, you know, people are portraying themselves out there to be something that they're actually not. And unfortunately, folks aren't taking the correct steps to make sure and verify the identity of these people to make sure that this is all legitimate. And unfortunately, they're getting taken as a result of it.
And if we could, can we talk a little bit about some of those dating sites? Because there's a lot of lonely folks out there in this world. They're looking for love. And sometimes they get hooked into these same types of scams via like Match.com and other places like that. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of that too. You know, same things. And these people that are out there doing these types of scams and frauds out there on the internet, they're exceptionally patient. They could go onto dating sites, they develop a dating relationship via internet, you know, they start to, you know, build a bond in that relationship, and then, you know, oh, hey, I'm having hard times, hard luck, you know, hey, can you help me out? Well, you know, in the name of love, let's go ahead and, I'll help you out, and they're sending money over, and a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the money that they're sending, they're actually sending it overseas to all over the world, and once that money's gone, it's gone.
So overseas, I imagine being involved in this kind of investigative work that you do, where are you seeing all this money going to? I'm curious.
All over. I've seen it on every continent, actually. Malta, Scotland, locations in Africa, all over the world. Germany, all over.
Wow. If you could, Detective Kevin Murray with Carson City Sheriffs, give people some really good tips when it comes to being on social media and giving out their information to data miners all over that want to hack their money.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, social media is a big, big thing nowadays. Everybody has it. Just verify. You know, don't accept friend requests from people you don't know. Don't share information that you wouldn't normally share. You know, all your information is available out there on the internet in some way, shape, or form. It's just a matter of how much that they're going to obtain. And most of it is dependent on what we allow them to have. So, yeah, I mean, all different kinds of things out there. You got, you know, the quizzes. You got different applications, you know, all the ads that are out there. You know, click on this. It just takes a little bit and just sharing that little bit of information. And before you know it, your information can get hacked. So just be very, very careful and very vigilant about, you know, what you're doing, what you're looking at. And, you know, a verified source is always going to be your best bet. When it starts reaching that worldwide level, it becomes very difficult to try to help them to recuperate and recover from losses. So it is frustrating, and we're trying to get the word out there to just make people aware, to just be that much more cognizant about what's going on around them. And another outlet, especially given that these things are countrywide and worldwide, is through the actual Internet Crime Reporting Service. That's going to be through the FBI, and that website is ic3.gov.
I'm Daniela Cennino, and thanks for listening to Nevada Outlook.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KOH.